Welcome to another edition of the Inside Scoop. My name is Neil Crawford. I'm your host and also the founder of Anytime Soccer Training. If you're not familiar with the Inside Scoop, it's a podcast dedicated to helping parents learn about the soccer pathways that would be available to their child if they lived in another city around the world. And this show is brought to you by Anytime Soccer Training. Anytime Soccer Training is the only training program with well over 5,000 training videos that covers all the major individual skill areas. So check out anytime-soccer.com to learn more about the program. And now let's get on to the show. So this is going to be one of those shows where I answer a user's question. So first I'm going to read the question and give a little bit of background about Anytime Soccer Training, talk about some things that are coming down the pipeline, and then I'm going to follow this podcast up with an article and a short video with my recommendations. So here we go. So here's the question. Neil, if I plan on having my son do the program for 4 days a week, excluding his 2 days of team practice and one rest day, and want him to do 30 minutes a day, would you help me come up with a plan? You had given me an example of a day that your son does, but just looking for a little more guidance if you're willing. And by the way, we've had an email exchange. Your son is 13 years old. Not only am I willing to give you as much guidance as I possibly can, I'm honored that you would even ask for my opinion. And moreover, if you still have questions, which you likely will after this podcast, just shoot me an email and I'll give you a call and talk to you while you're in front of your computer. I'll do whatever I can do to help you help your child reach their full potential in soccer. So 4 days a week, 30 minutes a day, plus they have the team training. So let's just talk about it. Background. We've talked about this before, but I'm not sure if you've listened to these podcasts, but I'm going to be very brief here. Anytime Soccer Training is a tool, and that tool reflects a process that I stumbled across when I began working with my own sons. And I saw that process was working for them, and I saw it also working for the kids that I trained. The process is it's not unique in the sense of no one's thought about this. It's not unique like that. But it was a unique way, at least for me, to allow my children to get maximum amount of touches in the shortest amount of time without overwhelming them, right? And without us becoming frustrated. So all of those things I had to take into consideration as I was thinking about how to do that. But then when I tried to share these ideas with other parents, especially the parents of the kids that I trained, I saw that the parents were not going to be able to do this, or at least were unwilling to do this, because it just required a lot of time and energy and research. And even when I put together lists and YouTube videos here and there, as you can imagine, it just wasn't follow along. It wasn't comprehensive. It was just a lot. And that's when I had the aha moment to say, you know what, let me just put this stuff into a program and see where it goes. And then you can extrapolate that to being a coach and trying to assign homework. So let's just go over this again. The goal is to get maximum amount of touches. I think the volume of touches is one of the areas that we wanted to address. When I see private training sessions, no offense to any of our private trainers, I have always felt like they weren't getting enough, or I feel as if the volume is not high enough. And it's almost, you know, if you compare it to someone working from a list versus someone free writing, the person that's working from a list is always just going to be a little bit more efficient because they're cognizant of it. So we wanted to get maximum amount of touches in the shortest amount of time. And we wanted to, again, to reduce the frustration between the parent and the child. And we wanted a program. I wanted a program that was rooted in known brain science. And I use that known pretty specifically to say just the consensus stuff, not trying to win a debate, win an argument. We all have our biases, but the generally accepted brain science. And so, in order to do that, I think about it as a framework that I call the triple V. A lot of volume. I'm sorry, the triple V, excuse me, is volume, variety, and variation. Right. And in order to execute this, which is max touches, reduced friction, shortest amount of time, brain science, and the triple V. So in order to actually do it, the videos needed to follow a very slow progression. The progression needed to be so slow that the adult is going to think it's not working, right? Because I just know how adults are. But it really, really works if they trust the process. So the progression has to be really slow. And an important part of that is we want to introduce one move per video and then loop those moves into review videos. That introduction of one move per video is also very important for a couple of reasons. Number one, we want the child to understand what it is they're trying to do, and we want them to get at least 5 minutes of consistent practice with just that one move. That reduces their frustration and reduces the frustration dealing with the parent. That's a fancy way of saying, when I was working with my children, especially when they were really young, whatever the video said, they seemed to be doing the opposite. So I just broke it down to one move per video. Also, and we talk about our private trainers who, again, are lovely, but this is one of the reasons I created it. I did not feel like it's human nature, right, for people to work on any particular thing long enough. So typically, you'll see a session and someone will demonstrate a move and they might have the child do it, two or three times and then they move on. Why? Because first of all, they got to pack in a lot. And secondly, it's not fashionable. It's not as fun. It's not human to say, hey, we're going to do this one thing for 5 minutes and then we're going to do this next thing for 5 minutes. But this is an area because technology is not emotional in this way. This was an area that I thought technology could really, really add value. And that's why we have to have so many videos because we're introducing one move at a time, but then we're introducing those moves across a spectrum of skill areas. That's why there's so many videos, right? And the challenge with so many videos, and one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast is because people do get overwhelmed, especially if they try to look at it in its totality instead of just following the process that I'm going to lay out. The next thing is, and this is a challenge, especially for our slightly older kids, is I've argued, let's get away from the framework of beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Let's just get away from that. There are a lot of reasons. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but one of them is again, parents are notoriously awful at evaluating their own children. So people tell me all the time, my child is good at this, but they struggle with this. And it's a lot of times, I should say always. The majority of times people I deal with is wrong. It's just a wrong assessment because it's hard to assess people when you do it for a living, right? Because if you could assess players accurately, you should sell your services to Man City or Chelsea because they'd be happy to employ you. If you can go out and assess people accurately, especially if you can add any predictive element to it, you'd be very, very, very rich. So it's very difficult to do. So I'm not a big fan of a beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Instead of that, I want to replace that with volume, variety, and variation. And the volume, variety, and variation not only depends on your experience level, but is also impacted by the age and your maturity level, right? So if you do fashion your child as being quote unquote advanced, then they should be able to do a higher volume with more precision, and they should be able to do more variety of skill areas. There are loads of skill areas, and we'll talk about them. They should be able to do more variety of it and not become too frustrated. And they should be able to do different variations within each skill area. So I talked about in the last one of the podcasts, the ball mastery has like 10 to 13 different programs within the ball mastery. So if they are, if you do fashion them as being advanced, then you can do the various different ball mastery programs again at a higher clip. So volume, variety or and variation, that's what I push more so than beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And then, but at the same time, I want to be accommodating to our users and accommodating to our families. And your question is a question we get often, and that is the wonderful thing about technology. You can add features and make it more user-friendly. I love that about it, right? So in the next couple of weeks, and I'm recording this on 12/12/2024, you're going to be able to create custom playlists. So you're going to go into the folders and pin videos to a custom playlist that you create. And you can have unlimited custom playlists. Okay. So that's going to help you customize your workouts, if you will. But what's more important than that is any user can create custom playlists, and any user can search for those custom playlists and add them to your workouts. So this is not an uncommon thing. I mean, it's very common in adult fitness type apps and stuff, but we're adding it here. And so you can imagine how it works. But the biggest advantage to that is instead of me having to do this long podcast and all the articles and videos, I'm just going to be able to say, hey, I just created your workout. This is what I recommend you do. All right. But hey, but spoiler alert, if I create it, it's just going to be accumulating the beginnings of each of the key skill areas, but it'll be a little bit easier for you. All right. So now let's just jump into, we're going to conclude with this. Where do I recommend a 13-year-old? How do I recommend a 13-year-old use anytime soccer training? I also do a PDF of this as well. And there's one more thing. The user explained to me that they're going to be doing it mainly in the garage and indoors. So we're not going to do finishing in this regard. We're also not going to do fitness because the user has also explained they have 2 days of team track practice. And so anytime soccer training has a pretty robust fitness program, but if you're doing team track practice already, probably don't need to do it at the moment. So with that being said, I'm going to click all programs, okay? And all that's the first thing I'm going to have you do, click all programs. And all programs is divided into the key skill areas for individual training. Warm-ups and quick sessions, juggling and ball mastery, dribbling and turns, turning and escaping, passing, wall and receiving, 1v1 moves and dribbling, clinical finishing, fitness and agility, and 1v1 games, and it has some 30-day plans. Okay. Now, those are the building blocks of any individual training session. You would do a warm-up, you would do some aerial control, you do some ball mastery, you do some dribbling and turning, some turning and escapes. You get it. So then what you're going to do, and this is how you get started, and once you crank through that folder, then you hide that folder and you add the next one. So in your mind as a parent helping out your child, you're going to think about what skill areas does every person working in the backyard or in the garage need to do that's practical. So I'm a big fan of starting out with, well, I typically start out with a warm-up if they're going to do it outside. Because it has some functional movement, some dribbling in it as well. But if they're doing it indoors, then I would just go straight to the juggling and aerial control. And then I would pin the juggling warm-up to my favorites, juggling warm-up. Now, the juggling warm-up program is literally continuous juggling for 2 minutes, and then the next one is 3 minutes, and then the next one is 4 minutes, and then it asks you to do it with your laces sometimes, laces and thighs and inside foot and that kind of stuff, right? Just a continuous juggling. You just start with that. If you don't want to do the longer ones, it goes up to 5 minute videos. You can repeat, say, a 2 minute video. That's fine too. So pin the continuous, sorry, the juggling warm up is at the very top. Now, normally with all the other programs, and I'm going to talk about this, but with all the other programs, I tell you, start with the first one and crank through. Juggling is the only one that if you're like 13, you can skip the thigh juggling and the kick and catch. But at 13, I still recommend starting with juggle bounce beginner. Okay. And that is literally going to be juggle bounce with your right foot, juggle bounce with your left foot, juggle bounce with both. It's going to go through all of these juggle bounces. And then once you finish those, then you do the second juggle bounce beginner, and then you go to intermediate juggling, right? Now, again, and where I always go back and forth with people who have slightly older kids, there you have a long runway, number one. And number two is even if your child can juggle, you use this opportunity to really help them with their precision of touch. So that's why I like to start a little lower than where they're actually at, so that they can really get these very specific touches and work on perfection. And remember, it's only 5 minutes and they just crank through it. So in this case, if you did a 2 minute juggling video and then you did a 5 minute juggle bounce video, that would get you 7 minutes of aerial control. If you got other things you want to get through within the 30 minutes, you don't want to do that much aerial control, you can do one or the other as well. Okay. Then I'm clicking ball mastery. Now remember, you're pinning these folders to your favorites before you start, but I'm just kind of so I would have pinned it to my favorites before I started. But for the purposes of this podcast, now we're going to ball mastery. And ball mastery has all of these programs, just like juggling has a lot of programs. The first program is the 1000 touch ball mastery program. I suggest pinning the first folder in the 1000 touch ball mastery program to your favorites and cranking through it. Okay. That's going to be a heavy dose of toe taps and TikToks. All of this boring stuff that people don't think you should be doing, you're going to see in 3 months, people are going to ask you, who is your trainer? You just crank through that those folders, do that first one. But because your child is 13, I want you to add two more ball mastery programs to your favorites. But you're only going to do two of the three on a particular day. So what I tend to do in real life is I only pin the ones to my favorites that we're going to do. But if you just want to set it and forget it, then you're going to pin the one cone ball mastery. So you will have to scroll down and pin the first folder in the one cone ball mastery to your favorites, and then pin the first folder in the two cone ball mastery in your favors. And we'll do a quick review at the very end. And then because your child is 13 within ball mastery, and because ball mastery is so important, I would go to the 101 ball mastery drills and pin the first folder in the 101 ball mastery drills. And you're probably thinking, why would, if you have, if you got ball mastery 1000 touch, it has like 10 to 15 folders, one cone, two cone, four, three. Why in the world would you have 101 ball mastery programs? Well, anytime soccer training is over 4 years old now, and just like anything else, you need to refresh it. You have more understanding of things you want to do. There's some moves you missed. And my older son, who happens to be 14, is now old enough to perform the moves. So that gives us a lot of flexibility to go to the field and crank out moves for the program. So I'm actually filming him do the 101 ball mastery program. And that one just it touches all the fundamentals that are in the 1000 touch ball mastery program, but it doesn't do every single variation. So in the 1000 touch ball mastery program, for example, and we're going to use toe taps as an example. It's doing toe taps stationary, toe taps moving backwards, toe taps moving forward, toe taps moving forward and backwards, toe taps moving to the left, to the right, toe taps spinning right, then spinning left. It's doing all of that in the first folder. Where the one-on-one ball mastery 101 is just going to do toe tap stationary. And then the next video is TikTok stationary. And then the next one is a combination of toe tap and TikTok stationary. And then it goes on to something else like pulling and this kind of thing. And so it's that combination though within ball mastery that will also accelerate, because if you do the one-on-one, you're going to go to more advanced moves faster. But if you stick with the 1000 touch and the two cone and the one cone, you're still going to get to similar moves, but it's just going to take you longer. And it's that combination that makes you really, really technical. All right. So I'm going to do a recap of what you should do, but let's just keep going through it. Then, because you're working indoors, I recommend you do three different dribbling folders, I guess, not folders, skill areas. And then you will pick the days that you want to do them. So dribbling is so important that, and there's so many variations of dribbling that, of course, there are a lot of dribbling folders and then programs within them. So the folders that I recommend you add, the folders that I recommend you go into and then pin the and then pin the I hope this is making sense, and then pin the first folders are let me start over. Let me start over to be clear. Dribbling is an important area of development. And the dribbling section has all of the dribbling program has all of these drop downs. And those drop downs are based on the types of dribbling it is. And then those drop downs house programs, and those programs house folders. It's just like any other curriculum. Now, the drop downs that I recommend for someone who is definitely someone who's doing it indoors are the tight space dribbling, the Ronaldinho freestyle dribbling, and the line cone dribbling. Okay. Now, here are the tight space dribbling drills I recommend, tight space dribbling programs I recommend you do. And then you pin the first folder in those areas, in those programs. Figure eight dribbling, right? You just need two cones and you need to look and see the figure eight pattern and do those. The figure eight dribbling program, when it starts, it reinforces what you've been doing in the ball mastery program, and that's important. Then there's another section called a program called tight dribbling, 3-4 and tight dribbling, 3-4 cone and tight dribbling. Now, all you need is three cones, well, 3 to 6 cones, but you start off with three cones. And you're weaving through these three cones using your right foot for one video, your left foot for another video, both feet with an outside foot turn, both feet with an inside foot turn, inside foot only, outside foot only in this very small space. And then the next one I recommend, I actually recommend all of them, but tight box dribbling allows you to dribble in a square, getting all of these essential turns in a square weave. And so I did a video, and there's a video in there that kind of shows you how to do it or how I set it up. But obviously, every video has its own demonstration as well. And then I can't say enough about Ronaldinho freestyle dribbling. You pin that folder to your favorites, and that's where you just lay cones out in a random circle, just randomly everywhere, and you do the freestyle dribbling. And then finally, line cone and cone slalom. So you're going to do the line cone dribbling. And that's helpful, especially if you're indoors. But because you're indoors, you may only be able to set up four to five, a line of four to five cones, which is more than enough. But this is the genome of line cone dribbling. You're going to do all of those line cone dribbling drills that you see on YouTube. It starts with speed dribbling around the cones, which is also very important. All right. And so there's more that you can do, but I would start with that. And then I would end it with doing the wall passing, right? Because and just use a rebounder to do the wall passing. If I recommend getting a rebounder. If you don't have a rebounder, then you can do it. He can do it with you. And if you're not, didn't grow up playing soccer like me, you can use your hands. The wall passing. And then the 1v1 series, you can do that. And I recommend doing these 1v1 moves, but you may need to modify the setup. And so that brings me to another point. I'm going to do a podcast of 20 or more things I do differently than the program. But one thing I recommend you doing is modifying the setup in order to facilitate whatever and accommodate whatever situation you're in. So the ones the 1v1 drills are designed to be outside so you can get a lot of speed and do the 1v1. But you can look and see what we're trying to do and make your own setups, right? And just follow the videos in order. Now let's conclude with two more things. What's coming down the pipeline and summarizing the drills I recommend. So I told you that we're going to be able to create custom folders for you, and that's going to come in a couple of weeks, and that's going to make a lot of this easier for you. My son is also, I said that my son can do videos now. And so having reflected on what people use most, reflected on sort of the gaps, reflecting on ways we can improve it. For most of the key skill areas, we're going to create the equivalent of a ball mastery 101. So we're doing ball mastery 101 now, but starting next week, we're going to start loading some rebounder videos. Now it has all the rebounder stuff in there, but there's always more you can add, and you can always tweak how things are laid out. And so the rebounder series that we're adding is going to go like foundations. Then it's going to say one cone, two cone rebounder, a freestyle dribbling and rebounder. And then I'm not sure what else, but it'll be something like that. And so we have that to look forward to. And then with the 1v1, again, the 1v1 moves that are in there now are the genome of any popular 1v1 move. But we're going to add a foundations 1v1 series, which we're going to be like 10 to 20 of the top 1v1 moves that everybody does. And I want to add a semi-opposed 1v1 section where you're coming from the wing, and those types of 1v1 moves you need to do to get out of a tight jam, more so on the wing. So we'll do that as well. Okay, so to recap, the blocking and tackling is you click all programs. And you go to the skill areas that you want to work on, and then you pin those skill areas to your favorites. I recommend pinning the juggling warm-up and the first juggling folder in the beginner juggle bounce, and then crank through those videos. When it comes to ball mastery, I recommend pinning the first folder in 1000 Touch, the first folder in one cone ball mastery, and the first folder in two cone ball mastery to your favorites. And then because you have 30 minutes, you would pick and choose which folders you want to do on that day. I also recommend pinning the first folder in the 101 ball mastery videos to your favorites, and the same thing applies. Then go to dribbling and turning, and I recommend looking in the tight space dribbling, the Ronaldinho freestyle dribbling, and the line cone dribbling program. And within the tight space dribbling, and this again, this is a lot, but it's easy, but it's a lot when you're trying to explain it on a podcast world. But you're going to pin the first folder in figure eight dribbling, you're going to pin the first folder in the tight dribbling, which is like three or four cone dribbling. And then the tight box dribbling. So the figure eight dribbling, it's very it begins by reinforcing the ball mastery, but the tight dribbling when you're dribbling around the three cones is really just a figure eight pattern done a different way. So that reinforces what you're doing in the figure eight, and that all that works together. And then the tight box weave dribbling, it just adds a speed dribbling component to it. But again, it reinforces what you're doing in all these other videos because you're adding those similar turns to the mix. And then the line cone dribbling is the genome of line cone dribbling, but it starts off with speed dribbling in turns, which is also very important. And then I would go to the rebounder videos and I would do the wall passing, you pin the first one. You can't go wrong there. By the way, any of the passing drills in the passing folder can be done with the rebounder as well. So you have that too. And finally, you go to the five-star dribbling. It's designed to be done outside, but you can modify it to fit your space limits. And just look at the move that we're doing, that we're trying to show you. So in other words, the first move is body feint to the right. And you can always you can just do that in a straight line and just work on your body face, dip in the shoulder. And I'll conclude by saying at 13, you still got to give them coaching points. You still got to help them stay focused. But you have an assistant coach with you. All right. My name is Neil Crawford. I'm the founder of Anytime Soccer Training. If you have any more questions, feel free to shoot me a mail and let's get better together.